To whom shall we go? Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This is one of those moments where a friend of mine used to say, the Gospel of John is a bit like Dr. Seuss, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. I am in my Father, and my Father is in me, and I am in you, and we are in each other, etc., etc. The world. That phrase is used 50 times in the Gospel of John, the world. But what does it mean? Well, according to the Gospel, the world is the place that Jesus, the true light, has come into, but it did not know him. The world is what God so loved that God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn it, but save it. The world is what Jesus is the Savior of. The world hates Jesus because he testifies that the things the world thinks are good are in fact evil. The world hates the followers of Jesus because we have been chosen by God and pulled out of the world. Like Jesus now chosen, we do not belong to the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But in our reading, the world cannot receive him because it does not have eyes to see or ears to hear. They literally cannot experience Jesus because they're estranged from him, alienated from God, and living in a separate reality. A reality that calls evil good, good evil. And for this reason, as long as the world remains unchanged, it cannot receive God or the Holy Spirit. The world. It is indeed a strange place for us who are followers of Jesus. Because what the world tells us about what is true is so contrary to what we have learned at the feet of Jesus. As we have walked with Jesus through his ministry, if we have heard this overarching story of God's pursuit of God's people in Scripture, from Genesis all the way through to us, May 14th, 2023, in Ely, Iowa. It's a story that we are part of. We who have been baptized are no longer part of the world. Because through baptism we can see and we do know. 1 Peter reminds us that baptism is not just washing the dirt off your body. It saves because it brings transformation of who we are and how we see. We're different from going through those waters. And so now we know. And we see things that the world cannot see. Through these waters, we are no longer alienated, different from God and the truth. And what's that truth? Well, it's the truth that Paul expressed to the Athenians as he tells them about the unknown God, who he connects with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who created all that exists, who is Father of Jesus, who loves the world. and the truth that we are all God's offspring, that we all bear the image of God. Every single human being that you lay eyes on, from the baby in the crib to the cop on the street to the criminal behind bars to the migrant at the border, all bear the image of the God who created them and is deserving of love and respect and care for that reason alone. Jesus knew this. Jesus lived this, right? Welcomed Pharisees and tax collectors alike. And so Paul calls on those who are assembled to repent. Anybody remember what repent means? Turn back, but literally it's change your thinking. Change your thinking. For the world that is alienated from God cannot see the truth. Instead, it divides. It says that those who aren't of our tribe, who don't have the same skin color, or maybe it's religion, or maybe political party, or political leader, are not worthy of being treated with respect, care, and love, because they're not like us. The world says there's nothing that unites us except those things that we believe, that we look at, that we accept, that we follow. And that all that matters is tribe, our people, not those people. It's language and belief that ultimately leads to death, because it leaves you in a constant state of conflict. As we look out for those who are only American, only Democrats, only Iowans or white or Cubs fans. We go that far, don't we? Now, anytime we hear that language of division and difference, we should immediately get suspicious, because it's contrary to the witness of Peter, but also of Genesis. We are, all of us, created in the image of God. There is no human beings who we lay eyes on who is not created in God's image and deserving of love and respect and basic decency for that reason alone. Now, Jesus, as he normally does, kind of ups the ante a little bit in this farewell discourse to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. Some have called this text kind of the pre-Pentecost text, right? He's priming the pump for the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus says, "You'll know these things that the world cannot know, because you have been claimed in the waters of baptism, and also because in those waters you have received the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, and that Spirit dwells in you, abides in you, pitches its tent in you. Each of you baptized saints, beloved of God, has within you the Holy Spirit of God. Received in baptism, the same way it came down upon Jesus, it came down upon you. And so, in a very real way, each of you is a God-bearer. And in that very real way, and because the world knows us as followers of Jesus, we have placed upon us the responsibility not to take God's name in vain. Now, when I talk with my confirmands about that commandment, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," I remind them it's not just about what we say in the vocal way in which we use God's name, but it's also how we live as those who bear God's name. As a Middleswarth, my behavior in the world reflects not just upon me, but upon all those who bear my name. My mom, my dad, my cousins. And I either behave in a way that brings honor or shame to them, that is in congruence with the way in which Middleswarths live, or that is not. And so, as Christians, As followers of God, the creator of all that exists, we bring honor to the name of God when we live in a way that conforms to Jesus' commandments. If you love me, Jesus says, you'll keep my commandments. Now, the interesting thing is, in the Gospel of John, Jesus only gives one commandment, one thing that is called a commandment. And it happens on Maundy Thursday, right after Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Anybody remember what that commandment is? It wasn't too far back. He washes their feet, and then he says to them, what are we to do? Love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. This is how they'll know you're my disciples. As you love one another in the same way that I've loved you. That's the only commandment Jesus gives in the Gospel of John. And so, this is how people will know we are his disciples. As we go into the world and love one another in the same way Jesus has loved us. What does it mean to see as God sees, not as the world sees? To see everyone as a beloved creation of God. And to love them in that same self-sacrificial way that God loves us. How do we do that? Well, we spend time and money making up a bag of groceries to place at our doors so that somebody can have something to eat, to spend time collecting and delivering those bags, to speak well of others, look at what they do in the best possible way, to treat them with respect. And that's the gift that we are given by God in baptism. To be reformed, changed, so that we can see as God sees. A world filled not with dangerous people, fights to be won, people to be conquered, but instead a world filled with those who are beloved of God, who bear God's image. What would it be like to go through this next week? And in those moments when we are tempted to dismiss someone for their thoughts or for their actions because they're not like us in some way, what if we just stopped and we took a moment and we tried to see God's image in them? To look beyond all of that outer stuff and see the person. What would it be like to see the world as a place to discover the wonders of God within those around us? We ourselves have the Holy Spirit within us, that power and energy of God that fuels the growth of the church as borne witness to in the book of Acts, a power given to us in baptism, one that continues to transform us as we make use of it. Because the more we see the world as a place to discover God's wonders, the more we will see the world as a place to discover God's wonders, right? And the more we will find them. And what a gift to be able to see that way. To see the wonder and diversity of God's creation is something to be celebrated. To see, even within that diversity, how connected and alike we truly are. To see with the eyes of Jesus. To see with the heart of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, to be a follower of Jesus is really pretty simple. To love God with all that we are, our time, our attention, our trust, and to see all human beings as created in the image of God and to treat them that way. To love one another in the same way that God in Jesus has loved us. It's that simple. And being a follower of Jesus is also that difficult, isn't it? Because the world still has its hooks in us. It pulls us away from those things. And so we trust in the gift God has given us in baptism. gift of the Holy Spirit given to us that transforms us, that changes us, that empowers us to be able to live in this way. Because we can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit and with one another. And as challenging as it can be sometimes, I don't know about you, but having tasted both ways of living, I want to live like Jesus did. I want to see the world that way. To see the beauty and the complexity and the wondrous nature of people and this creation. Don't you want to live that way too?